This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
How often we are doubting Thomases. In the true sense of where we look at the opposite of faith, not really doubt, but fear. It is fear that is the true opposite of faith. We see in the gospel today these cowering 12 huddled up together, locked in a room because they are afraid. And it is only in that experience of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, that moves them from fear to faith. It has to do a lot with the difference between knowledge that we have by experience and knowledge that we have by faith. Let me tell you a story that brings this out. There was a salesman who was returning from a long sales trip, and on his way home, his car breaks down. He gets out of the car, and the closest place for him to go is the house that's next door, which happens to be a monastery. And he goes in and he asks the abbot, "Can you put me up for the night? My car broke down." And the monks not only let him spend the night, but they feed him well, and they actually fix his car. But in the midst of sleeping that night at the monastery, he hears this sound that is just entrancing to him. And so when he gets up the next day, he asks the abbot, "What is the source of that mysterious sound?" And the abbot says, "I can't tell you, you are not a monk." Well, the man is so intrigued by all of this, he decides, "I'm going to stay another night." And sure enough, in the middle of the night again, there is that intriguing sound that just captures his spirit, and he just has to know what is the source of it. Before he's leaving the next day, he asks the abbot again, and the abbot says, "I can't tell you, you aren't a monk." Well, he is so intrigued by all of this. He says to the abbot, "Well, what's it going to take for me to become a monk?" And so the abbot tells him, "You must go to the furthest ends of the earth and count every blade of grass and every grain of sand on every beach." And the man embarks on such a task. For years and years, he is searching and counting. He comes back many years later to the abbot, and he says this, "In my quest to find what makes that beautiful sound, I traveled the earth and have found the answers to what you asked for. By design, the world is in a state of perpetual change. Only God knows what you ask. All we can do is know ourselves, and that requires that we are honest and reflective and willing to strip away all self-deception." The abbot replies, "Wow. Congratulations. You are now a monk. We shall now show you the way to the mystery of that sacred sound." So the monks lead the man to a wooden door and hand him a wooden key that he opens, only to find behind it is a ruby door with a ruby key, which he opens. There's a silver door with a silver key, which he opens. Behind it, a gold door with a gold key, which he opens. And finally, he comes to a diamond door. They hand him a diamond key, and they say the sound is behind that door. So he went, and the monks say, "I'm so excited and anxious. I've lived my life desiring to discover the source of that beautiful, captivating, seductive sound." And so with trembling hands, he unlocks the door, turns the knob, and slowly pushes the door open. Falling to his knees, and he is utterly amazed to discover the source of that haunting sound. "I can't tell you what it is. You aren't monks." Seminary professor tells that story in relation to this difference between knowledge by experience and knowledge by faith. there should be something so intriguing for each one of us in this quest for the resurrected Christ that we are willing to continue to look with the eyes of faith to find him. This story that we read of Thomas, Thomas gets a bad rap for his doubt. There is nothing wrong with doubt. Doubt is a precursor and a necessary part of our faith. We have a tendency, whether it's in a relationship like we see on that screen, or in our life of faith in general, that the first time we have a little bit of a doubt about it and we want to run away. Doubt is a necessary part of faith. Even Jesus on the cross, as he is giving his life, doubts the love of his very Father for him. That becomes the occasion for him to recommit himself to that journey. So doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is that fear that is the opposite of faith. It is like those first people of Israel when we read last week about the Exodus story, and they go across the Red Sea and are delivered from slavery. They get over on the other side and the sea closes in behind them, and there they are. And the question is, now what? Are we going to be frozen here in fear because we don't know what lies ahead? And the past, as bad as it was, looks a little bit appealing because at least we knew what it was. Or are we willing to step out with this newfound knowledge of freedom and redemption and move on? We just celebrated Easter last Sunday. For some of us, it was the usual reiteration and reaffirmation of our baptismal promises. For some of us, it was the first time we ever maybe were touched with a knowledge that, yes, this is for real. Some of us have just completed a 40 Days of Love program where we read books and we discussed and we prayed and things happened in our personal lives and in our relationships that we made honest to God breakthroughs that we've never made before. And the question is the same for us. Now what? It would be easy to go back, but the resurrected Christ calls us to move ahead. That is the gift of the resurrection. Is it a fact? It is a fact. We hear in the gospel story today, we hear in the other readings assigned for today, in John's reading we hear what we have heard, what we have seen, what we have touched with our own hands, we pass on to you. The reading from Acts talks about they're all gathered together, all those who believe. It was real, it really happened. There is a man by the name of Lee Strobel who was a lawyer. He was not a believer. He spent a long time, and he spent this dedicated time just looking to try to figure out what is the evidence for the resurrected Jesus and what is the evidence against it. Because he wanted to prove his living as an unbeliever was the right thing for him to do. Do you know what he concluded at the end of all that research? You can read it in a book called The Case for Faith. You can Google or YouTube under Lee Strobel and you get video clips galore about what he discovered. And he ends his book by saying, I concluded that because of the preponderance of evidence, it would be harder for me to try to continue to live as an unbeliever as opposed to accepting and living out the story of the resurrected Jesus. So the fact is there. The question is now for us, now what? It is a call to continue to look for him so that we might find him. We can take two approaches in our life. We can get up every day and we can look for the ways in which we are not going to find the good. We are not going to find the opportunities for Jesus to enter in and resurrect us and others. Or we can do just the opposite and find him in places that we never expected to. That is what Thomas did. That is what all those first faithful few did. And it's going to be different for each one of us. The love that God has uniquely for each one of us is evidenced by the fact that we are going to find that experience of the resurrection in our own unique lives in very unique ways. Because God is going to give us what we need. When you look at these stories, Thomas needed the hands and the feet. I won't believe until I touch. And you notice in the story, in the end, he doesn't need to touch, does he? He just sees Jesus and has the experience, and he says, "My Lord and my God." And by the way, he didn't ask for anything other than what the other disciples had already received. He just happened not to be there. Jesus shows up on the locked doors in the room, and immediately he shows them his hand and his side. Thomas just wants the same that they have received. Jesus gives him what he needs. There's a first disciple that needs to see an empty tomb so that he can believe. And so the tomb is empty. Mary needs to hear the voice of the one she loved and called teacher. And so Jesus calls her by name and gives her what she needs so that she can believe. And so too it is with us. But it has to do with not just this knowledge of a fact, but a knowledge by experience when we open ourselves up to what God can be for us. It has a lot to do with how we're tuned in and listening. I told the other services this morning about I'm usually at the gym on one of those treadmills or the bike or the cross trainer and thinking through how I'm going to approach the sermon this week. And I happen to be on that cross trainer thing this week. And I've got the headphones on, and I'm sort of listening to ESPN, but really thinking in my mind about all this thing. And they're showing the sports lowlights of the week, and they're showing the great baseball player, Albert Pujols, drop two pop fouls in the same inning, two errors in the same inning by this star. And Fitzgabriel from our church is on the cross trainer next to me doing the same thing, and he whips off his headphones, and he says, "Do you know why that happens? That happens because his parents did not take care of him in the home." And I'm thinking, Fitz, chill out. He just dropped a pop fly. But then I realized Fitz was watching the story about the hardened criminal on Fox News. He wasn't watching ESPN. Where are we tuned in? Where are we tuned in? This Jesus, this resurrection, is not just something for us to say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." But just like we took those alleluias out of the box and lit all the candles and took the covers out of the statues, sometimes I think at the same time we should send everybody out of the church at the same time. Because what a symbol that would be that we really do get it. That it's not just about saying stuff. It's about the fact that nothing ever in our lives can be the same again because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead for us. Amen. Let's take that to prayer.